Hello and welcome to our second patient and practitioner teleconference on this Wednesday evening, April 24th, 2013. The following information is for educational purposes only and is not to be construed as medical advice or suggestions for your own personal care. Dosing guidelines should always be determined by your practitioner. The following guidelines discussed are for educational purposes only and doesn't supersede your practitioner's recommendations. For the patients joining us tonight, please discuss using this information with your healthcare professional. Do not start any of the protocols listed and or discussed, especially iodine use, before taking with your practitioner. Byron White formulas are available through your practitioner. If your doctor did not attend this conference, please feel free to share your notes with them and have them contact us for more information. Our speaker tonight, Byron White, creator of the Byron White formulas, has been a practitioner in the natural health field for over 32 years in private practice, group work, and seminars. In that time, he has helped over 25,000 with Lyme disease and chronic illness to help regain their health. He is a medical researcher focusing on natural means of restoring health and has created 31 herbal and energetic formulas and produced numerous educational and therapeutic CDs. These are currently being utilized by healthcare providers such as medical doctors, naturopaths, osteopaths, chiropractors, acupuncturists, and other healthcare providers. And now, here's Byron White.
Hi, Sam, and everyone. I want to thank you very much for that introduction and wish everybody a good evening. And I also want to thank you taking the time out of your day. I know it's always busy for everybody. This is such an important teleconference. I wanted to open it up for patients, everybody, and practitioners as well. So I'll be talking to doctors about specific information. You can certainly share that with your practitioners and giving an overall ideas about what we're up against in terms of radiation. In some ways, this is one of the hardest teleconferences I've had to put together because it meant delving into the depths of radiation and how it's impacting us. And it's a situation that is so much in need of attention, and yet it's being given very little attention by our government or any government, actually. And it's up to us to be able to make the changes we need to make. There is a large amount of information available about things that you can do, so the hopefulness is in your ability to take care of yourself on a daily basis with this. But I first want to start with a little bit about the radiation that's affecting us. Very brief, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. There's varying amounts, obviously, if someone is going through chemotherapy and radiation treatments. Those are much more involved issues, and the information here pertains mostly to the exposures that we're going through. So I decided to make this a teleconference just because it's affecting everybody. And unlike Lyme disease or any other chronic illness, that it's something that's constantly going to be there. At times it'll be less than others, and the exposures may change. But since a lot of radiation is cumulative, it's such an important issue. I've been tracking radiation for about 2 years now, and I've been seeing it as a constant issue. It started to come up in my testing of people and as an issue that needs to be dealt with before the body could move forward. As a result of that, and I started seeing it in my system, I work with layers, I started seeing it in layer one, which is more acute, but then I started seeing it in deeper layers, which meant it was affecting the cells and the tissues in the body. So we actually did a study across the United States looking at airborne particles and also looking at water. It gave us the ability to see what was actually in the system, what was affecting people. So we worked very hard to create a formula that would help with the detoxification and also to help the body identify to dump these toxins. And because of that, it became instrumental in the protocol that we put together. Many people are getting sicker from this. And if you look around with your friends and start to talk to people, you start to see that people aren't feeling so good. There's various reasons, GMOs, other chemicals in the environment and that sort of thing. However, the radiation is a big part of it. So let's take a look briefly at the radiation situation we're dealing with and give some examples of equivalents of our exposure. Certainly, the disaster and release of radiation at the facility at Fukushima has increased the levels, but radiation has been a problem for some time. There's many reasons for that, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Highly radioactive objects known as hot particles were actually detected by 2 out of 3 monitoring stations for radiation as far away as Boston after the Fukushima incident. Some of the sources of radiation problems are going to come from nuclear reactor leaks and byproducts. And by the way, we're still having leaking in Fukushima's. As early as last week and the week before, there are still leaks. So nuclear reactor leaks are a big issue, and their byproducts, certainly nuclear bomb testing, depleted uraniums that are used in dirty bombs by our own government, actually, and medical tests and x-rays using radioactive materials, x-ray scans, and metals contaminated with radioactive waste is also becoming an issue. You're finding radiation in the food and water that is contaminated from the radioactive fallout, and of course cell phones are part of a different kind of radiation in the EMF fields, cell towers, microwave towers, that sort of thing, and devices. So we set out to be able to measure radiation levels. Part of it was we wanted to make sure that the herbs we're using were clean so that you get the best quality formulas, and we didn't want to pass on any radiation through them. So we use a meter that you, when we sent you the photos that you can take a look at, that measures gamma, alpha, beta, and x-ray forms of radiation. Where the radiation that's actually it's measuring is going up against a pan unit in the bottom of the unit, and it's detecting it. It detects it as a click. Some radiations are worse than others, but all of them have an effect on us. So the average daily readings have been in the 30 to 60 clicks per minute range for air. So if you add in the food and the water that the radiation is also getting into, we find ourselves in the 90 to 120 CPM range. So in that particular range, in some classifications, is considered a hazmat situation, for instance, by the Highway Patrol. So when we're looking at this, we realize, when I looked at these things, so we're being exposed to high levels. If the normal, quote, background radiation, the normal would be in 15 to 18 in the past, then you can see how much out of range we are. But the big thing for me was I was seeing people getting sick. I was seeing my friends and colleagues complaining of symptoms. Some of the common acute symptoms were headaches. Kind of like sinus headaches. Sometimes it affected the sinus, like sinus congestion, sore throats, tonsils sometimes it would be an enlarged lymph system. Nauseousness would be another symptom. And malaise, much like they were getting a cold or a flu. However, when we used the protocol with the people, it would clear. So getting back to the radiation dose, that of 60 CPM, which is a lower range of what I was actually checking, that I would find that out in the water. For instance, if it was raining outside and we tested it during the rain, sometimes it would be up as high as 60. Sometimes it would be 50. Sometimes it would be 45 or 40. So radiation will vary depending on it's actually coming up through the unit. So a radiation dose of 60 CPMs, which is 12.5 millisieverts, which is another way of measuring the radiation, has an increased risk of cancer of 1 in 1,000 after just under a 3-year exposure. Increased risk of cancer added to everything else people are dealing with. So at 120 CPMs daily, which is very conceivable, someone's had a hamburger, they've had an organic salad, they're quite possibly going to get 30 CPMs from that. And then they have some water, which is found in the water and found in drinks, as well, sometimes lower, sometimes higher. Certainly you want to be careful not to eat anything or drink anything from Japan, because we found very high ratings of radiation to some of the products. So at 120 CPMs daily, it takes 1.42 years to reach that 1 in 1,000 chance of cancer. So to me, that was significant and something we needed to pay attention to. Radiation dose of 60 CPMs, as an example, a year dose would be equivalent to getting 44 chest x-rays, or 3 CT scans, or 3 full spine x-rays. That's a whole year dose. But if you compare it up against those things, you can see that it has a higher concern for us. Now, granted, it depends on the kind of radiation that's being used, so that needs to be factored in there. But it certainly is still way above the 15 to 18. And what the government did is they just raised the standard of safety. So there is information on the net showing what the actual numbers have been. But often the researchers that have picked up the numbers who are doing different kinds of research have been up to 108 times higher than what we found in California. So we just did some radiation images for you. To give you an example, we took some with milk, and I'm not putting out who made the milk or anything, but all the products we did were organic. The problem happens with foods such as milk and cheese and beef is that you have some acid rain that falls onto the grass, for instance, and, of course, the cow eats the grass, and now you have radiation. And believe me, nothing's more revealing than when we do urine samples and you look at the urine and you check the radiation and see radiation coming off the urine. It's quite disturbing. One of the things we did find out in the testing is that when we did the protocol, radiation coming out of the urine would increase twofold because it was coming out quicker, and then it would drop off. So by looking at it in that fashion, it was able to determine how often you needed to do things, which we'll talk about in the protocol in a little bit. So as you can see, it's 32 for the milk. That's a 15-second reading. These larger readings that follow are longer readings, so it's going to be a bigger tally, but it's still giving that image. My favorite is the barbecue turkey meatball, which was 40 CPMs. And I personally ate that one, and I didn't feel so good afterwards. It was organic as well. So it's interestingly enough, you can look at different foods. Now, how are you going to pick out the food? Unless you go around with a Geiger counter and look at all the foods and everything you drink, that the best thing is going to be able to take things with you that are going to help you be able to deal with the radiation. Because remember, you're breathing it in, too. One person did a radiation level check of a passenger that wore a mask for breathing from LAX, Los Angeles to Japan, and through that whole time coming back, it's actually longer than 10 minutes, that the reading off of it was 10 minutes, but the exposure, of course, was extensive. It was very high. It was 252. So rainwater collections, you have these photos. I won't go over each one, but again, much higher in the mist. We do radiation calculations with the instrument that it's highest when it's raining. So one of the things we came up with in the protocol, obviously, is don't get out in the rain too much. Breathing it in, cut your time down in those levels and to protect yourself. And we'll talk about other things that you can do. Low levels of radiation can have extreme effects on our health. But the radiation increases free radical production, which is damaging to the body. People that have chronic illness are already dealing with a lot of free radical inflammation in the body. So the radiation adds to this. It can cause thyroid problems. The one doctor, I believe it was Caldecott, found that there's been a 28% increase in Fukushima in children thyroid problems, everything from cysts production to cancer. It's serious. But again, nothing's being done about it on a global level, so you need to do it yourself. One of my experiences with it can prevent the body from healing. It can affect the thyroid, which we'll get into in a little bit. It can affect metabolic functioning and definitely prevent the body from healing from infections. This is why it's so important if you have Lyme disease or chronic illness that this be factored into the equation. And in your notes, you'll see that there's not only shortening a lifespan, but creating a whole slew of symptoms. And of course, if you look them over, in some ways it may be hard to distinguish those from Lyme disease or other chronic illnesses. That's why it's important as a practitioner to look at this, especially if white blood cell drops are found. In the studies, the white blood cell counts would drop within a day of a person being exposed to even small doses of radiation. So when this happens, your body's ability to defend you drops as well. So this is very important. If you're not dealing with an infection, or even if you are, and the white blood cell count doctor does a test on you, or you want to check, and it's dropped, or you're on the protocol, and you start to see it go up, you get a sense of if the doses are appropriate. So repeating the white blood cell test can help tell if they're being persistently exposed or if the radiation's effect on the system is lessened. And radiation, depending on where you live, is going to be at different levels. If the white blood cell count keeps dropping, it can be an indication of a bigger issue, but it can also be due to infections. And so it's a good thing to keep in the back of your mind as a practitioner, or if you've had white blood cell issues. Now, as if this wasn't enough, we start to look at chlorine and bromine and radiation and iodide in here, that the halide group, that the iodine, when it gets deficient, when your body starts to use it up, whether you're dealing with infections or radiation, you can start having a drop. As a result of that, you're still picking up the chlorine. You're still picking up the bromine and bromides, which are very common, and they're very toxic. And as a result of that, you can have more illness being created because your iodine levels have decreased. Your thyroid can begin to be affected. You can have hypo or hyperthyroid symptoms. So iodine is used, amongst other things, in the body to deal with this radiation. As the radiation goes up, you can have the whammy of dealing with the radiation, and you're also ending up dealing with excessive toxins in your body. Another thing to add on top of that is that it's possible for the bromides to actually affect the test results that you have on your thyroid, where you actually start producing hormones that are not useful, that they don't work. And so you test the hormone, it comes back, it looks normal, but actually it's produced a hormone that's not terribly effective, and it skews the test results. So again, as a practitioner and a patient, we want to be aware of the fact that we want to get the bromides and chlorine down out of our system as much as we can. So the symptom profiles for radiation and bromide toxicity can look very similar. We want to be aware of that, just to put it in one more tool that we have is looking at these things. In the notes, you have the bromide symptoms, which again is a who's who's list of symptoms. However, I've seen people go through these symptoms as they work with eliminating the radiation and iodine stores brought back up, that oftentimes they'll go through bromide toxicity release, which can cause some of these symptoms that are listed, everything from emotional, anxiety, emotionality, irritability, feeling exhausted, lethargy, abnormal type of skin rashes, all sorts of things. So you want to keep that in mind, look over those symptoms, because as you start to drop the radiation, and if the iodine stores need to be brought up, which they almost always do, then what starts to happen is this detox occurs. Fortunately, we put together a protocol I found did work to decrease the toxicity from those pulling out two poisons out of your system. So the solution is to helping with the radiation and the bromine chlorine buildup as well. And we need to deal with those at the same time because the body's going to start bringing those things out. It's one of the reasons that sometimes people will stop using iodine. And it doesn't have to do with the iodine. It has to do with the toxicity. So when we found that this was part of the possibility, that iodine was involved in this, that I started measuring people's basal temperatures, first morning temperatures, and I was finding in healthy people that their temperatures were lower, and they had some symptoms to match. And upon using part of the protocol, we found that their numbers were increasing. And people always checked as having radiation issues. They're not high radiation issues, but it's just enough to start affecting the system. It's also indicating that the thyroid is not being protected. As I mentioned earlier, radiation is a blockage and needs clearing. If you don't clear it, in my experience, the person doesn't get better. It can block you from proceeding with dealing with other issues. It affects all cellular functioning. In my testing, when doctors have me test something for them, we're doing research, found that radiation is an issue in almost every person. And, of course, that can limit your progress. So you always want to look for radiation. If you're doing energetic testing, look for radiation. If there's a blockage, someone's not getting better, or they have the symptoms we've mentioned before, not so much the chlorine, but the bromides, looking for radiation is crucial. It almost always will show up. And remember, the bromides will decrease as the iodine increases. So let's talk about how you can protect yourself and how to get the radiation out. I am very political in terms of wanting to get people well and anything that's going to help people get well. I very much encourage you to deal with this at a source and contact your representative, get your family to, your friends, because the sources of these issues, the nuclear reactors, the waste products coming off of them, is a huge issue. And supporting eliminating nuclear bomb testing, depleted uranium in bombs, radioactive materials in our clothes, believe it or not, eating utensils and metal objects. There was a situation with the Lazy Boy refiners. They caught it before they left the plant, but you got a benefit, an extra benefit with the Lazy Boy recliners. You got an X-ray as well. So they found it in the hinges, and they're finding that there's radiation in the fencing material, and radiation in metals that are being used in certain housing situations. So it's very important that we stop this from happening. The government is looking at basically being able to take radioactive waste and okay it being put into your silverware. So what's much better than, you know, having your silverware there and eating with it and getting a dose of radiation at the same time? So if enough people speak up against this, then of course it won't happen. This kind of stuff infuriates me, that these things are stoppable and they don't have to be part of our life. And we need to say something to stop it. Otherwise, it's just going to continue. So I appreciate any support with this. Contacting representatives and spreading the word is very important. So let's talk about decreasing radiation. So there's several steps. I've listed them, but there is some information that we will get to in the specifics. But some of this is common sense. You know, wash your vegetables. I put together a radiation detox recipe that works. You need to avoid the foods that are going to have more radiation in them, like milk and cheese and beverages from Japan. Of course, always avoid cell phone use, microwave use. And the situation with the rain, you can't always protect yourself that way, but you can get out of the rain. And definitely you want to change your clothes. Wear a cap, wear something over your head if you have to go out in the rain so it's not in your hair. And by coming home and, you know, showering, taking those clothes and put them immediately in your laundry so that you can wash them and treat them, as we're going to talk about in a little bit. Next one is protecting your thyroid. Lugol's has iodine in it. It also has iodide, which is protective for your thyroid. And the dosing regimens vary depending on the person. So this is something you need to talk to your practitioner about. But it's very important in my experience. Most people are not getting enough iodine, and taking it in just a regular salt product, there's other toxins, and in an iodized salt, I wouldn't recommend it. And oftentimes you need much more iodine, and there's several sources online about this information. It needs to be kept at the right level, and that level varies for each individual. One person is going to take low, they may take a drop, which is about 6.25 milligrams if it's 5% dilution. Another person may take 50 milligrams. And there are tests available to test these things. So there's ways you're going to be able to check these things out, which we'll get into a little bit. But that needs to be done through your practitioner, because iodine can cause certain symptoms, sensitivities if you have, and a rash is one of them, for instance. Your doctor is best to help you with that. If your doctor doesn't believe in using iodine, you can contact us. We can help you find somebody that you can talk to about that. But it can be checked for. There are tests to see, and there's loading processes you can do as well. But to me, it's crucial, because everybody I've checked does not have enough iodine. The patch test that's out there that some people do and uses a way of telling, that doesn't work in my experience. Iodine will evaporate, and it has to do with how much fluids are in your skin, and it's not a good way to test for it. Of course, don't eat any kelp that's not been checked for radiation levels, and avoid using herbs and any herbal formulas that have not had radiation levels checked. We check ours, and we'll continue to do so. I think it's a good question to ask companies that have formulas if they do so as well. You'll be able to protect your clothes from the radiation that you're washing them in the water, by using baking soda. And it needs to be a good quality one, sodium bicarbonate, without having other binders and fillers in it. But you don't need very much of it, and it's in the protocols we'll talk about. I keep saying just a minute, we'll get there. You can protect your teeth and your mouth by doing the same thing, using baking soda. And then afterwards, using Envirad, which is the formula I talked about earlier that we produced, you could just swish it around your mouth a little bit and then spit that out. So we want you to basically brush your teeth, switch it around, and spit it out. And then using supplements to protect yourself from radiation effects, water filters, shower filters, of course, are good, not swimming in open pools and lakes because of the rainwater, and, of course, not drinking tap water. So let's get into the details now. So supplements and formulas are used in our formula. The Envirad is kind of the flagship formula here, and BT Detox, Detox 2, and Detox 1. We'll talk about them in more detail, each of them a little bit. Using sodium bicarbonate and Lugol's iodine. So let's talk about Envirad. Envirad has a wide range of antioxidants, which are going to help to go up and strengthen your body's defense against the free radicals produced by the radiation, and also by the bromides and chlorine and other toxins. The formula was designed to remove toxicity from the body and to remove chemicals to help people that were chemically sensitive and to start detoxifying the system in a gentle way. So the formula has a lot of antioxidants. It supports protection of the cells and organs. We'll go over it just a little bit. There's an extensive list of herbs, and I might not cover all of them, but just give you a sense of what we're doing here. The energetics in the formula support also the protection of the body, targeting radiation and other chemicals and metals that we found, binding to them, and helping the body get rid of them. There's liver-nourishing dandelion in it, which has mucolytic properties for binding, and assists the elimination of toxins out of the body. Acts like a magnet, kind of pulling these radioactive elements to them, to the substances, and it helps you excrete them through your body. Potassium is a huge issue because just having enough potassium in your body will often cause you to expel certain forms of radioactive isotopes, especially cesium-137. So potassium is found in several herbs in Envirad, and you can also supplement this. It's critically important when exposed to when the radiation is great to have potassium. Potassium in the blood will block rapid absorption of this isotope. Garlic, has a high sulfur content, and high sulfur will help protect the antioxidant systems like glutathione. So the garlic extract that we use protects the red blood cells from radiation damage, and it uses a glutathione-based mechanism. And in my studies, garlic extracts prevented radiation damage to chromosomes and vulnerable bone marrow cells. Onion, also a sulfur, combine with and deactivate both the radioactive isotopes and toxic metals such as cadmium, lead, and mercury. And the sulfur in the cysteine helps the kidneys and liver detoxify the body. Red clover helps to as a blood cleanser, and it also helps reverse DNA damage caused by radiation. So it's very important. A lot of the elements in this formula do that. Luthro ginseng in a formula was used in Chernobyl for radiation toxicity, and preliminary studies in Russia have confirmed the use of the herb for people undergoing chemotherapy and radiation treatments to help alleviate the side effects. So it's been used for a long time with great effect. It's also very bone marrow supportive. In human studies, this herb has been successfully used to treat bone marrow suppression caused by chemotherapy or radiation. Ginger is also very good. It's protective against nauseousness and gamma radiation. Together, garlic and ginger, which are both in the formula, provide significant radio protection. It has high sulfur again. Garlic extracts protect the red blood cells, as we mentioned. The ginger helps as a cofactor working with this. Garlic extracts downregulate X-ray mediated increases in the inflammatory nuclear factor kappa B. So it's working with the inflammation pathways. The ginger extracts also boost glutathione activity and reduce lipid peroxidation by a separate and complementary mechanism. They scavenge host of free oxygen and nitrogen radicals immediately following their formation by radiation. So it's running in there, rescuing the cells, helping the body to protect itself. White peony is thyroid protective. It purges the heat and cools the blood. So in Chinese terms, it's healing the body by working with the yin yang or the heat and the cooling mechanisms. So it's useful in radiation damage, healing, antioxidant as well, free radical scavenging ability. They did an esophageal radiation study on this, therapeutic effective compound of white peony root oral liquids on radiation-induced esophageal toxicity via the expression of EGF and TGF-beta-1. So briefly, what we're talking about here is the radiation-induced toxicity and the inflammation pathway that was affecting that area of the body. And the results revealed that white peony had a higher rate of repairing damaged structures. So it does have an effect on those particular pathways. Cumin or cumin works with anti-glycation, helps to protect the cells, and it's also high in iron, which can help with the iodine. So it's blood building, boosts the immune system, and it's also protective and repairing. Milk thistle, most people have heard about. One of the interesting things about milk thistle is it can kill the skin cells that have been mutated by UVA radiation. So the formula is helpful in that. It has quite a bit of milk thistle in it. So it's known for its ability to protect the liver, but it also protects from chemical toxins. So although I'm just talking about the radiation aspect of this, the formula is created to deal with other things as well. So all these herbs have multiple usages. It reduces DNA damage and extends survival in animals exposed to dangerous levels of radiation. Along with licorice, it blocks DNA damage and protects cellular organelles from radiation. So all these herbs are helping the body either cope with it or detoxify the systems, helping to repair damage, which is so important because as the cells, the DNA, do receive some damage, the herbs can help to restore that. In Chinese terms, Dan Shen is supportive of yin, or the cooling aspect, the bodily fluids, and helps to cool and to move the blood, which is so important. Modern cancer research has demonstrated the importance of using herbs that invigorate the blood and eliminate blood stasis. So it's helping the energy to move through the body, it's helping the blood, it's helping to cool, it's helping to help the system function at a higher level and get the, if you want to look at it in Western terms, to get the radiation out of the body as quickly as possible. Cordyceps sinensis is a great mushroom. It's used in traditional Chinese medicine. And it's very expensive. It's grown only in Tibet. And it's one of the things it does amongst dealing with cholesterol and the circulation and immune system is it has the ability to, well, improve stamina, but it helps to prevent development of tumors. So it's helping the system at an immune level as well as helping the system with circulation. and protection of the liver. Jujube fruit, they've done studies on effects of the radiation on the spleen. Studies show jujube decreased cellular DNA damage of radiation. It's also supportive as a preventative and an antioxidant, as well as repairing cell damage from radiation. So fortunately, we don't have 40 herbs to go on. I know it's a long list. Thanks for bearing with me. It just gives you a concept of how the herbs can help the body deal with this. And when they're all put together into the way we do things, the energetics of it, what we found is very low dosage, and this particular formula is just so feeding for the body, all these herbs. There is no Herxheimer-type reaction with this formula. It's not a microbial like AL or ABART or ABAB. It's basically supporting the body both nutritionally and antioxidants and helping the body to quell the radiation, reverse damage, and get it out of the body. So the detox too, again, a lot of information has been out about that. I use it a lot with patients. Practitioners use it a lot as part of the protocols for other things. One of the things it does is it triggers the liver and gallbladder to release toxins, and then it binds to it and removes it. One of the great things is the clays, the special clays that are used in this formula, have the ability to detoxify uranium and other forms of radiation. So the key to the detoxification here is to be able to bind to it and remove it. So where iodine can target the radioactive iodine isotopes, it's not going to flush uranium, cesium, or plutonium radiation. However, clay does have the ability to do that. We work with hitting these things on several different levels so that you're using the formula to go after these toxins and different forms of radiation. And you're supporting the thyroid as well, and the liver and the organs, so that we're supporting every system that we can to decrease any possibility of damage and get the bad stuff out of the body as soon as possible. Clay was one of the components used to bury the Chernobyl reactor. And it was because its ability to reduce the escape of radiation through its protective barrier. Clay is used in soil remediation, and that's possibly something that gardeners would like to look at, because you could get some non-toxic clays and possibly put it into your gardening, into the soil, the topsoil, help absorb some of the radiation. So the high sieve ratio clays that we have, they absorb very tiny particles such as radiation and other toxins. And in that particular formula, we also have activated willow charcoal, which has the ability to absorb and neutralize radioactive substances and many toxic materials. One of the reasons we use, it's not in pill form, is because the formula activates the liver, as I mentioned earlier, but it's also because we found that the finely powdered activated willow charcoal is 1.5 to 2.5 times as effective as taking a tablet or capsule. The rest of the formula works with helping to decrease toxic levels, binding, healing the gut, getting the toxins out of your body as quickly as possible. Now, BT detox works with removing neurotoxins and chemicals and radiation from lymph system and tissues. And I found that BT detox, when people would have headaches, they just say, I'm just not feeling well, and we give them Envirad, which starts to remove things, and oftentimes they'll feel better with that. But if they have the headaches and they have the malaise and sore throat, we give them just a drop or two of BT detox, and those would be removed, usually within an hour, sometimes quickly, it's a couple hours, and the body starts to purge. Now, some of that's from the bromides and the chlorine and other toxins that are being released. So as you're doing these cleansings, you want to make sure that there's enough detoxification agents there to do the job properly. Detox 1 is in there because it can support all the detoxification systems as well as binding to them and removing them. So when you're working with somebody and their iodine levels are right, you fix that. They're using Detox 2. They're using the Envirad. And now you're ready to go deeper into the tissues to go after some more toxins, some more effects. Sometimes it might be the halides. Then Detox 1 comes in because it detoxifies all of the detox systems, the skin, gallbladder, liver, kidneys, everything, bladder, everything's included with that. So we get into dosing. Those are relative amounts, but I wanted to put them out there because it gives you an idea. So a patient's dealing with radiation issues like we all are, and so the Envirite can be used, as is said, 4 to 10 drops 2 times a day. My more favorite way of using this now, because we have constant exposure, is to take the dosages. Unless it's an acute situation, someone has a lot of symptoms, you have to look where the symptoms are. If they're having head issues, they're having throat issues, I might have them put it in their mouth, hold it in their mouth for a couple minutes, and usually it'll cause it to subside quite quickly. The other thing you can do is put them in water and have them sip on these through the day. And that way they're getting support all day long. Detox 2 is taken on an empty stomach. Again, swish it in your mouth and you swallow it and then follow it with a full glass of water. Always, you want to wait minimum 45 minutes. I put an hour in there because it's better before eating or taking supplements so it doesn't absorb them. But the Detox 2, again, as you're using it, these are the two keys besides iodine, is that taking those two are going to help tremendously to drop the levels. Personally, I carry some Envirate with me. If I go out to eat or I bring something back here to eat, then I have that with it to help with that process. Not the Detox 2 because it'll absorb the food, but it's important to take the Detox 2 at some point during the day. Again, the BT Detox drops are there, 1 to 2 drops, 2 times a day. That helps to clear the lymph system. So it's very important because radiation will block the lymph system and then it will not function properly. It also helps with the bromide symptoms and the chlorine. One of the additional parts of the program is the sodium bicarbonate, which is kind of a miracle substance. It's very good. I like it because it can diminish the severity of the changes that are produced by uranium in the kidneys. From urine tests, we're seeing more uranium showing up, more cesium showing up. So the kidneys are usually the first organs to have problems and chemical changes from uranium exposure. So even the military manual suggests dosing or infusions of sodium bicarbonate to help alkalize the urine. So it's part of the program. I think it's excellent stuff. It's not the tastiest stuff in the world. You don't want to take it with the Detox too. You want to take away from supplements. But a small amount of it is very useful. And we also use that in the process of washing your clothes because it will have a tendency to take things out of the system as well. So it's so useful that they use sodium bicarbonate at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. And researcher Don York has been using baking soda to clean the soil contaminated with uranium. Now, some places, when they use that to do the soil cleansing, they claim like a 97 to 99% reduction. So because of the free radical cascade that's caused from radiation, it can really decrease the supply of glutathione in the body. And as a result of that, we'll talk about it a little bit, the glutathione is a big issue. And since people that have Lyme and other chronic illnesses, the glutathione is a big issue anyway, that I think it's very important to supplement this. So the dosing of the bicarbonate, sodium bicarbonate, is listed there. And that's, you know, between your doctor and you, but these are options. You have so many options here when we talk about the foods and supplements as well, that you have a very good program to help yourself with this and make radiation something that you have control over rather than having control over you. So I recommend in a patient that's been on Detox 2 and Envirate for a suitable amount of time, as Lugol has started, further bromide detox, as I mentioned, will occur. So usually suggest starting with 1 drop in water, taking the food increase as needed. I suggest that people's oral temps, that you can watch your own temps. It's a useful tool to track, in my opinion, improvement for hypothyroidism. So by tracking the temperatures, if a person's temperature is below usually 97.8, 97.6 maybe, they're running hypo and should be somewhere between there and 98.2. So with Lugol's practitioner working with patients, it becomes an option to use to look and see. They do their own charts. You can check your cells as a patient and watch the temperature and see what reactions you have from taking the dosing that you and your practitioner have decided on. There is a possibility of having false T3, T4 blood test reaction with bromide toxicity, and your body can be producing false hormones. So it is a consideration. So even if your hormone tests look great and your temperatures are low, this is still something I'd look at. Thyroid, another time to get into it in more depth. Can also have to do with your adrenals and a lot of other complicated issues. But these are certainly two things to consider with regards to radiation. And you have the ability to do loading tests. One of the more common tests being used now is just doing spot tests for the Lugols. If you are on iodide, it's very important. It's important to take vitamin C anyway. But BT detox needs to be part of it to help decrease the bromide toxicity. And with iodine supplementation, magnesium and selenium and zinc, sometimes iron will decrease as well as iodine goes up. So as a practitioner, something that you can pay attention to. Now, I've listed a host of supplements and diet information that won't go into deep detail, but non-toxic forms of miso that are uncooked. You can read the little story about Nagasaki and how they were able to save the patients. Buckwheat and brown rice and other fibrous foods also help in getting the radiation toxicity out of the system as fast as possible. Buckwheat is also a grain that's high in rutin and helps to protect against radiation. Stimulates new bone marrow production. So these are good things to have anyway, along with green tea if you can tolerate it. So as you go over the diet, you can see several things that can help you rebuild, help decrease DNA damage, anything that's left over after using the supplements and the formulas. And this gives you a good idea of things you can start doing immediately to incorporate these things into your diet so that you can decrease some of the effects on it. So getting back to glutathione, so NAC, sulfur-containing compound, and it supports intracellular antioxidant systems, particularly glutathione. So it's an effective radioactive protective agent. It can minimize liver damage, radiation. They've done many studies on it. You can read the information that's in your notes. It protects the bone marrow from radiation by preventing and decreasing DNA damage. So it's an incredible thing to take, and if you can tolerate it, everybody has their what they can tolerate and not tolerate. Isami is another one, which some people can and cannot use, depending on their if they have liver pathway problems. But I would take a look at that as well. People who do energetic testing, practitioners, can, of course, test and see what's best for the individual. Now, the Envirad herbs actually contain many of the supplements, but the tried and true ACE, which are antioxidant vitamins, those vitamins have great protection for the cells. So there's an information list there on the calcium and potassium. The vitamin D is also down there, the importance of B, zinc. So quite honestly, a supplement, a good supplement, will help you with those things. And you'll be able to get a lot of those from foods, but again, you're not going to get as much as you would from a supplement. Pectin is actually in our formula. Of course, potassium, magnesium, B vitamins are as well in natural forms, but you can get higher amounts. And as you take a look at iodine and you look at iron, you can see, again, it's preventing the uptake of iodine-131. While the iron is inhibiting the absorption of plutonium. So you have a really good protective system here as you take these things by watching the foods you're eating, staying away from the bad ones, taking your formulas, which are going to help your body detoxify and protect your system, taking the Detox 2, which is going to be able to get rid of the kinds of radiation that other things can't get rid of, getting supplements behind you that you want to take. Potassium is probably the most important. So another thing you can do, if top it off here, is you can do a vegetable wash. I've given some suggestions on that. levels you can vary on that. The Envirad, again, is to help basically support the vegetables and antioxidants and detox juice drawing, so it's the baking soda, and you just let it soak for 20 minutes and then rinse them off. And you can do a week's worth, 2 weeks' worth, 3 weeks' worth of vegetables, depending on how long they're going to last, what kind of vegetables you're getting. If they're protected properly, then you're going to pull some of the radiation out of them. Laundry is another good thing. You're taking your clothes that you may have worn outside when it was raining. You're also going to have the water that you're using to wash with. As a result, it's going to have radiation in it. So this cuts it down. So you can take 2 tablespoons of baking soda with a wash, or you can put a lot more in there depending on what you're used to in terms of how you wash your clothes. But again, it's just another thing you can do to cut down the effect that it's having. A bath detox, I think, is a great idea because it will leach the things out of your skin, and the skin's another detox organ, and it's just an excellent way to do it. You'd be using Envirad, again, for the same reasons. The baking soda is going to help to detoxify as well and alkalize your body. And sometimes we put a drop of Lugol's in there as well, just to help deal with that particular form of radiation, and also to help prevent it from getting back into the system. And then the detox. You don't have to do this every day, but once or twice a week, 3 times a week. If you're in a chronic situation and you're very unhealthy, you're trying to get your health back, you have chronic illness, I think you need to do more of these things than less, because the radiation is most likely deeper in the system and you need to get the layers of it out. And so as you work with these things, you're working with other chemicals and other toxins as well. So everything we've talked about in terms of what you're taking is going to be helping you get rid of those toxins as well. So some of the feedback I've gotten from people doing the protocol in terms of their temperatures, as I said before, they did have a raise in their temperature. So it's an important part of it to take all these things into consideration, realize, yes, there's a lot of radiation out there, there's all these different forms, but nature's also given us ways that we can deal with these things. And by putting a good diet together, doing the things we talked about, you can go a long way to decreasing its effects on you. And I encourage you, this will be turned into, we'll be recording this, obviously, and it'll be turned into a CD. So people, if you have friends or family and they want to learn about how they can protect themselves against radiation, just let them know, and they can check out our website at ByronWhiteFormulas.com. It'll eventually be on there, probably not for a couple weeks at least, though. We encourage people to come in and listen to the conferences when they're happening, because you get the same information to a degree, but you're part of the process. So with that in mind, I wanted to find out if anybody, we're going to handle questions now basically by email, because it's sometimes difficult to get a lot of background noise and so forth. So Sam, does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask?
Yes. Would you like me to read you the question?
Please.
Okay, we have one about detox too. We have somebody that's been taking 1/4 teaspoon of detox 2 for about 2 weeks. They've been having some stomach aches, but didn't get sick, just felt a little uncomfortable. So basically, they want to know if a detox 2 would cause any type of reactions in the gut.
Okay, good. It's a good question. We were just talking about this earlier. A doctor contacted us about one of their patients. And what can happen with detox 2 is it does have herbs in there. You have bitter receptors on the tongue. And so when these, you take the detox 2, part of the reason for it being in a powdered form is it hits these bitter receptors and it activates the bile mechanisms in the liver and gallbladder, so you can dump those toxins, and then it goes down, the detox 2 goes down and binds to it. So it's a possibility, 2 possibilities come up. One is it's possible it's coming from some form of die-off, because the herbs that are in the formula, the charcoal, the different clays, they can cause that kind of reaction. However, sometimes it comes from the fact that the gallbladder is congested or the liver is congested. And so it'll affect the stomach, and then it can cause a symptom. process there. And want to make sure that you're drinking a lot of water when you take this. And detox too is important, that you take it on an empty stomach. Follow it by a glass of water, and then wait an hour before you take anything else. As always, you want to talk to your doctor, because there may be specific things that are need to be processed and dealt with in your particular situation. That's the most common thing I've seen, is it's pointing that there's another issue that's present. There's always a possibility of having a reaction to an herb, like an allergy reaction, but to be honest, I just haven't seen it that much. Occasionally, detox too will cause a cleansing reaction, so you might get looser stools if you get too aggressive with it in the beginning. That's why it's so powerful. I just usually keep it at an eighth of a teaspoon until you're on it for a while, and then raise it up, and you can take it a couple times a day, usually, as I use it.
Another question here. Someone said they've been told that charcoal is a carcinogen.
Well, not to my knowledge in terms of the way it's being used. I'm talking about charcoal. It depends.
What type of charcoal?
Yeah, if we're talking about charcoal briquettes, yes. It's very much a toxin, those chemicals and that sort of thing. But charcoal is basically an absorbent. So that when toxins hit the charcoal chemicals, it will absorb them. It's not expending, it's absorbing. And it's not making its way out of the gut. So it's inert in that fashion. The same way with the clays. The clays in the charcoal, the willow charcoal we use, and we use activated willow charcoal, they're not making it out of the gut. So it's the sort of thing that's absorbing the toxins, but in my experience, it's not adding anything to the system in that sense. That's not its nature. I want to thank everybody. If you are seeing practitioners and aren't familiar with our products, or they haven't attended a teleconference, you can have them contact us and be happy to talk to them about the information we've covered this evening.
Also, we do have quite an extensive list of practitioners. Not all of them are listed on our site. So if you're looking for someone in your area, we'd be more than happy to spend the time to look up those in your zip code and surrounding areas and send it to you.
And one last thing is that our next teleconference is going to be on specifically detoxification. And the importance of detox, will be going into much more depth on the formulas and different forms of toxification, how it's dealt with. And also working with parasites and parasite detox protocols. So watch your emails for that. We'll be sending information out. If you know that anybody's interested, it'll be available for patients as well as practitioners.
Thank you all for joining us tonight, and we wish you a great evening.
Wish you a great evening and week, and thank you so much for joining us. Best wishes. Bye-bye.